Did you hear me refer to you as not me?
Not me, indeed.
We were just talking a little bit about you, and Trish was saying how she confronted you early and when you knew her about whether she said you should be a spiritual teacher. She said you were horrified.
He didn't know me. He'd never met me before.
Yeah.
I met him and I just looked at him and said, you know, I talked to him for about 5 minutes and told him I thought he should be a spiritual teacher, and he was not impressed. That was a Tanya's in streams.
But he still might not consider himself a teacher. So.
I don't. Not at all. I don't consider myself anything. I mean, I truly just remain in that formlessness until here we are. Now we're speaking and there's some speaking, and then this will turn off and I'll do the thing to upload it up and then go watch TV or something. It's not like
it's good to have to bounce my ideas off you anyway and have you cut through them. And it's nice, you know, it's good for me.
Yeah, the whole conversation is contained within your own self. The only concept of separation is identification with body forms that are speaking, but in reality, it's the formlessness and a puppet show, really. I mean, seriously, and when you know yourself in a real sense, it can't be anything but that. Like, there's no, how? Like, how can this presence individualize? It's formless. You have to remain with yourself. That's the key. You remain with yourself. And like Maharaj says, just sit and see what's there. And okay, maybe thoughts are flowing in mind. You just ignore this. And you just remain. And mantra, like Maharaj says, mantra is like mother who wants to cook the dinner, keep the children busy, so she gives them some toys. So we're keeping this mind busy with mantra while you're inviting attention of the invisible listener. The invisible listener that you are. And that invisible listener is invisible, unidentified, anonymous identity. There is no point of saying this is the listener, because the listener is formless. It says your device will restart to update outside of active hours. Okay, well, hopefully it considers this an active hour.
And that the anonymousness. This is, it doesn't need anything in order to be.
No name. Well, it's just, see, we have to label things because we use body, mind, ego, intellect, and we start to say things, and things need a label in order to discuss them. And that's why we say, oh, God, who is God? What is God? And then you can say, oh, okay, this presence is God. But this, again, is from the body-based perspective. Only do I need to label presence as something because I believe there's still a something there that can label something. And there's a concept of duality that's so deeply impressed in mind that mind wants to search and label each and everything, including this thing.
So a compulsive identification.
It has to, because otherwise mind can't exist. If there's no labels and there's no words that are needed to describe anything and everything are just scenes passing, then what is there to say about anything? Only if there's a you there that identifies with a flow of thoughts as my thoughts, I'm thinking, and this is my personal universe that I'm experiencing, can thoughts be of any use? If you know yourself in a real sense, thoughts are of no use. Therefore, they come and go and you are not disturbed. who's there to use the thoughts? What benefit is there to use the thought? What benefit is there to even have a body?
In fact, they kind of, that's what we get hung up on them, and then they kind of drag us in, and then identification becomes valuation, and then it's just off to the races.
Well, let's reverse that. If you know yourself in a real sense, then no thought can be about you, because mind came along with the body. It literally is like watching a black and white presentation of a color world. And you sit there and you say, okay, how does this relate to the mind? Well, mind presents images based on form, labels based on form, because that's all it knows. And once you know yourself in a real sense, just I without anything. Mind is like, okay, we can't really, there's nothing really we can say about that. Because you could say, oh, I'm so stressed. Is this stressed? This doesn't understand the concept of stress. Stress came along with the body, and I'm not body. Mm. I could say that the heartbeat is beating fast, the breath is breathing heavily, but this is all body. The you that you are isn't breathing. Using this instrument as breathing, just as if you identified yourself with your car. Your car is experiencing rain, but you're nice and dry. Your car may even experience an accident, but you're inside the car. You're not all smushed, hopefully, like the car. If you can't say, oh, you know what? Somebody says, wow, you start to smell a little bit bad. Oh, but I got the car washed just yesterday. The car is not you. It's a vehicle. This body is not you. It's a vehicle. It's sort of a telescope into the illusory world that you can play with for a while. But don't take so seriously, just like a dream. You might have a really amazing dream. You know, tonight Keith is a rock star and has all the groupie and all the happy, joyous money and parties and stretch limo. And you are just loving life. I mean, this is your wildest dream. You've always wanted to be a rock star. And here you are on stage and everybody loves you. And they make t-shirts with your face and your band's name. And then you wake up. And you say, oh, well, was that for nothing? No, it was an enjoyable thing at the time. It was a spontaneous kind of activity that was occurring within your own formlessness. You know this because you woke up and this obviously appeared out of nothing. This whole dream world was projected and you were an object in the dream, believing yourself to be a rock star and enjoying all the perks of being a rock star. And now you wake up and it's gone. You don't sit there and say, oh, well, my life is worth nothing then. What about all the friends I made as a rock star? What about, you know, nothing. It comes out of nothing. Identification with a body causes a dream, a long dream. I am somebody else. And then the dream ends when you know yourself in a real sense and not ends like when you wake up, because now you're still, existence is still existing. The body is still available to sustain the essence of existence. But you no longer view yourself as someone in this something. It's just scenes coming and going until they don't come and go anymore. Nothing gained, nothing lost. Just as if I really invest and I become a multi-billionaire in this dream. Well, at the end of the dream, okay. So,
could say everything's ending as soon as it begins. In a sense, it's just as well over with as soon as it starts.
There's no beginning and no ending because, again, these are all appearances. You could say appearances are disappearing and appearing And they have no timeline or no connection of any kind, just as in a dream. Appearances are appearing and disappearing. You're using this telescope to see the appearances and the disappearances. And after this telescope is no longer viable, then you won't see the appearances and the disappearances. But they were untrue. You're not losing anything. And now, knowing this, do your job, do your duties, take care of all your responsibilities. Don't be shy about, okay, hey, I like to go to the park and walk my dog. Okay, go to the park, walk your dog, no problem. You have a body, dog has a body, enjoy your dog, walking this dog. You don't have to sit there and say, well, now that I know I'm this spiritual being, I must just sit and be with myself all the time. No, because now you know yourself in a real sense. You don't have to keep reminding yourself. This is when Maharaj says, you don't have to keep saying, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. This is impressed. When you know yourself in a real sense as the formlessness that you are, you don't have to keep impressing, oh, I'm formless, I'm formless. Just enjoy. Whatever comes into this, enjoy and finish. That's why Maharaj uses the example of a cup of tea. Drink the tea, put it down, enjoy. Yesterday, they say, okay, how many times did you pick up the tea and put it down? Well, I don't know. It was just spontaneous action in the moment. There's no registration of, well, I sipped on the tea, you know, 50 times before the cup was completely gone.
Yeah, I always get the impression that it makes a difference. Well, you know, it's not always. I can ignore it now more often, but I get the impression that things make a difference. Say, I thought for a while in my so-called spiritual journey, I would think that, well, it would be a good thing. Maybe it would be a good thing if I could do lucid dreaming.
You're lucid dreaming right now. You've been told this is a long dream, and yet you're awake in this dream. So you know it's a dream, and you're here. You're dreaming, Keith. Yeah. And you're dreaming, Keith. I'm not saying you're dreaming, Keith, as in you're dreaming, Keith.
Also, I might just as well not be dreaming, Keith. So it's not that, it's not the dream that makes a difference. It's but there is nothing really. When I'm in that sort of blissful state, free state, nothing really makes a difference. Nothing can, it's something that's there that's unaffected by what's going on. And so, in a sense,
without anything. In other words, like someone sent this question on Cura, which I started going back to because somebody asked me to go back to it. And it said something about nothingness and all of that. It's all very negative. How could you describe it without being negative? The absence of attributes. Mm-hmm. That's not really negative. You're not saying nothing. You're saying it's the absence of any attribute. And that to whom all the attributes are added is, of course, your own self, which is attribute-less. And this is why attributes can be added and you can say, oh, layers upon presence. Oh, these attributes have been added. These attributes of birth and death and life, body, all these things are layers on your presence.
It is interesting, though, that when I start to recognize what's there besides thoughts, that it feels so good.
It's just lonely underneath the thoughts. Again, that's how Maharaj says, where all experience ends, there you are. Experience of mind, body, ego, intellect, world, there you are. Because you're to whom all these experiences appeared.
Sometimes it's like that overwhelming good feeling just kind of like takes me over. It's like almost like a being from another realm or something, just taking over. I don't even know what's going on.
It's like, well, it's the you in which the for which the illusion has appeared. And that one is not in the illusion. This is the one that you are, that suddenly knew the sense of existence and the stirring within consciousness, which it creates, created an entire waking world. And just like when you lay down and sleep, and you're sleeping, there's no knowledge of yourself, no knowledge of anything, then suddenly there's a knowledge of existence, and the consciousness again creates a waking world. Only we call it dream and waking. It's just the one consciousness that creates based on the concept, I exist, which is impressed because there's no knowledge of existence, and suddenly there's a knowledge of existence, which causes a seeming creation. And there's no reason for it.
If I wanted to think of a reason, it would be that so that it could know itself.
There's no need. Knowing yourself is actually what caused all this trouble. You were fine as you were. There was no trouble, no, you know, worry, no body, no birth, no death, no troubles of any kind, no world, no traffic, no war,
no sickness. Would you say no form?
No form.
No war.
No war.
No war.
That's who you are. That's where you are. The illusion then appeared because of the knowledge of existence. And within the illusion, you have war, you have birth, you have death, you have sickness, you have trouble, struggles, strife, all these sort of things in the illusion. And that's why once you know yourself in a real sense, you know that it's just like a dream. Oh, okay, these terrible things may be happening, but they're not actually happening. Tonight, if you go to sleep and you dream, like we've talked about before, that the world has just gone into total chaos and cities are being bombed and so many people are dying and it's so terrible. And then you wake up in the morning and here you are. Oh, that was just a dream. But it affected you. You know, even you can have a nightmare and wake up in cold sweats and a heart beating very, very quickly. Because truly, the dream is so real. It's an amazing creation how a total illusion based on formlessness can impress the fact that that is reality so easily due to identification with the form within the illusion. You can't have a nightmare if you're not in it. And if you know yourself in a real sense, all this activity, all this world is occurring in the formlessness. And you know that there's no way that that world can hurt you or do anything to you or add to you or subtract.
I guess that's part of what's gradually happening, though, is like when I start to feel the formlessness is present, there's still an element of me there being aware, like of that. So I guess gradually that's going to reduce the sense of a me being there watching it or something.
Yeah, well, again, that's the, okay, I'm aware of this sense of presence. And that's fine. You remain with that sense of presence. That sense of presence is going to kind of teach you. It's going to turn. And then there's going to be an understanding that I'm aware of presence, but whether presence is there or not, the one that is aware of presence is. And that's the step away from body identification completely, because, okay, I can say this presence is my own self. And that's kind of, I think they talk about the deer musk, that fragrance, that presence is emanating and allowing you to know yourself in a real sense, because it eliminates body, it eliminates world, and you just remain. And then there's the understanding that the knower of this presence is not the presence, nor is it even in the projections of the presence. It's like, it's again like a dream. The dreamer's laying down sleeping, a mixture of existence, a dream world's projected, an object within the dream is identified as myself. And I don't even have to say, oh, I'm this little guy. I just assume that identity instantly in order to be participating in the dream. It's not like I, you know, when people say, well, why is this? Well, think about your dream. Boom, dream world is projected. Suddenly you're in it and you're not even questioning anything because you're identified with someone in the dream. And the identity is like instantaneous, spontaneous. And from that point of view, then you start experiencing the dream. You might even dream you're a mouse, but and your dream will be from the perspective of this mouse. Even though, and that's silly to say, except if you really look at that, the identification with a mouse body creates a mouse experience. The identification with a human body creates a so-called human experience. None of it's true. It all came formlessly out of nothing.
It does seem like the experience of my girlfriend's cat. It's, I can see where it's really no different than my experience, or it has to be basically the same for it as it is for me, kind of.
Well, the same presence is animating the cat, and the same presence is animating you.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why.
Nisargadatta Maharaj says the insect and the elephant are exactly identical in their essence. That is all there is. Forms are created and destroyed, the five elements get together and all this kind of stuff. But all of that is within the illusion. And that's why if you really sit there and try and think that you're spiritual and say, well, the five elements were created this way and that way and this. And Maharaj says, okay, when did you come across the five elements? When you came across the body, yes? Okay, well, you're not body. So we can throw that whole theory away, because you could spend, and people have spent, thousands of years trying to figure out, like, the air then created the wind, and then this happened, and who cares, quite honestly, because you're not body. So any of this stuff that came along with the body, you are not. And that's why Maharaj says, too, will this knowledge be helpful to you when it's time to leave the body? No. You can quote the Vedas and the Upanishads and all this sort of stuff and know the history of Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master, and Shiva, and Jesus, and all this sort of stuff. Will this be helpful to you at the time of leaving the body? No. Knowing yourself in a real sense? Yes.
I guess that's why I gravitated towards this teaching. I'm glad I came across it, is because I used to be into Tibetan Buddhism and all that. It seemed like I had to learn all this stuff about, you know, what is this state like? And, you know, it was just, I wasn't really getting it. It seemed like I was getting it sometimes. And then other times, like, well, I don't get any of this. It's like,
that's why Maharaj cuts all the body-based knowledge with one simple statement. Prior to beingness, you knew none of these things. When you know yourself in a real sense, I am not body. So the body relations are not my relations. The body knowledge is not my knowledge, nor is it of any use. Unless it was, again, baby steps to know your own self. You could say, oh, well, this body knowledge, I read Master of Self-Realization, and I began to understand this a little bit, and I went to Maharaj, and he clarified. Okay, but you don't hold on to that knowledge, because all knowledge, no knowledge is knowledge. All knowledge can be discarded, because eventually you find yourself, you know yourself. But those were the steps leading up to yourself.
You take the thorn to remove the thorn, and you throw both away.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. One of the problems is that if you've been in spirituality for like 60 years or 40 years or whatever, you have a lot of egoistic, I have done so much. Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about that in his books. Ramakant Maharaj talked about people who go like around Arunachala seven or eight times doing the loop, and they go into caves and they do all this kind of stuff. There was a guy actually who went to the Himalayas and had spent a long time like meditating and doing all this, gave up, called Maharaj and came to see Maharaj. And Maharaj said, oh, this guy's coming. And he came and he spoke to Maharaj, because it's very hard to give up believing, well, I've done all this spiritual stuff. You know how many books I've read? You know how I can spit back all the knowledge in those books to people that even in some circles seem like a wise person? And now you're telling me that it was for nothing and it's actually holding me back? Yes. Knowing yourself in a real sense, the direct route. That's why this lineage is called the Royal Road. Because you will, like Maharaj says, guarantee to your money back. He gives 100% guarantee. If you remain with your selfless self, mantra, and you trust and have complete faith in yourself and in the master, and not master that's sitting in the chair. That's master, but in a form. The true master is your own self. And that's why Maharaj says, know yourself as formless and there can be no separation between the master and you. And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, I'm not making you a disciple. I'm making you a master, because I'm removing all the concepts of being a disciple, because you are not a disciple. You are that. You can never not be that. It's not like, I mean, you can pretend what you're doing. If you say, I'm Keith, I'm having troubles in my life, or I'm John, and I have some stress going on over here, then you're pretending to be something other than what you are.
I had something this early in the week I had to deal with, but I think I kind of cleared it up. Towards the end of last week, I brought up that thing about, I told my girlfriend that we all live in a bubble of self-concern, and you said, don't do that. And so I was like, after talk was over, I was like, why the hell would he say that? I thought I was being wise by pointing out and making her aware that that we live by
I might have said you don't need to do that. I don't think I said don't do that. I'm not pretty sure,
but
that
still,
I would say like, well, restrict your activities or whatever. When there's no deed, no doer.
That said something to that effect anyway. And anyway, after going over it, it was like, to figure out, what would make sense for me not to put it in those terms? And the only the thing I came up with was that if I say we live in a bubble of self-concern, that's a mental interpretation and placing an identified way of doing things that we all kind of tend to do. Even if it's true, it's still getting involved with an explanation of identification. So that set my mind at ease. And I, you know, whether you agree with that was your point or not, that's, it helped me to think of it that way and just forget, you know, not necessarily have to try to wake somebody up by saying that.
Yeah, please do understand, you can't wake anybody up. That's because you're not doing anything. Even as Maharaj says, we're not performing any miracles here. Pointing to the fact that, hey, if you remain with your selfless self, you have a direct experience of yourself, and then everything that's been heard and impressed will make sense because the invisible listener is listening in this moment and is understanding and clarifying that I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. So without direct experience, we can talk for hours, years, eons. If we could all say, okay, we're going to be immortal and we're going to have these talks for 1,000 years, without direct experience of your own self, it's really meaningless. You've been told the good news. Now it's for you to unravel this mystery of your own self. And how do you unravel the mystery? Mantra, remaining with your own self. As this sense of presence arises, you kind of train this mind to pay attention to the sense of presence and not to the illusory world, because you know it's illusion. So when some kind of trouble happens in this illusion, yourself is the answer. Trouble passes, as it will do, because it's just a passing thing, and you remain with your selfless self. Remaining with your selfless self, it's outside of time. Like there's no... You can't sit there and say, oh my God, this problem, when will it ever be solved? Well, if you use mind, and mind is like sitting on over here, and right now he might just be drinking coffee and watching daytime soap operas. And then all of a sudden you say, oh my God, when will this problem end? And he jumps for joy out of his seat and says, yes, let's try to figure out when this problem will end. And you go in the loop, the illusory loop of suffering and trouble and all this, when all you have to do is you say, oh, this thing is happening.
Like a solvent or something.
Yeah, you say, oh, okay, let it happen. What's going to happen is going to happen. I'm just going to remain with myself as self. Let it be. Let all these things. Even the doctor says, you know what, John, you only have 2 months to live. Oh, this is very sad. Okay, let's sit. So who's dying? Nobody's dying. Let me just remain here with myself as self. Or somebody who asks, when I get older and I get senile, how can I remain with my selfless self? Well, this is a point Maharaj has made. On your deathbed, it's too late to sit there and say, oh, I need to really get the spirituality. And that's why, you know, your whole life you've been doing your job and doing everything you're supposed to do. And now it's like, uh-oh, I'm dying soon. I need the spirituality. No. But if you remain with your selfless self, the body's going to go through what it's going to go through. But you will know yourself in a real sense. Once you know yourself, you cannot forget it, because there's no forgetting and no remembering unless you're within the illusion and you know you're outside of that. So there's no fear about, oh, what happens when I'm senile and this and that, because you know yourself in a real sense. Five elements are being disturbed, massively disturbed, because the body essence is going to leave. The body can no longer sustain that essence. And yet that essence is all there is. Whether body's here or not here, you are. There's no individuality right now. Somewhere in the world, you have been given the diagnosis that you're going to be gone in 2 months. You only have 2 months to live. And somewhere in the world, in the illusion, you're believing that you have 2 months to live. That belief is being impressed through mind by identifying with a body that had a life in a world, and none of it's true.